planning to move its oldest building, the Mumford House, off campus. Our board of directors placed the building on our list of the 10 most endangered historic places in Illinois. In May of 2009, in response to an appeal, very broad-based appeal, by students, faculty, community residents, alums, and residents across the state, your board of trustees approved a resolution to restore Mumford House in its current location. Soon afterwards, the chancellor appointed a committee to assist in that measure, and I, along with others, was appointed to that committee. Now, unfortunately, 1 year later, I am back in front of you again, once again to advocate for the preservation of this building, the oldest building on the campus. While it may pale in significance to what you've been discussing today in terms of tuition and academic excellence, I do believe this is an important matter for 4 points. And we've handed out a graphic here that if you follow along, it'll hit some of these points. So I have 4 points to make. One, we believe the Mumford House needs to be saved in its original site, where it has stood for 140 years. Arguments have been made that the context of this building has changed, that it's now surrounded by modern buildings on the South Quad and no longer should be in the location that it's been for 140 years. I'd argue that a similar point could be made about the Chicago Water Tower. Interestingly enough, the Chicago Water Tower was built the same year as the Mumford House. And today it's surrounded by retail malls and high-rises. Yet in both cases, I think it's because these buildings are in their original locations that they tell the critical story of the origins of these two incredible places, the University of Illinois and the City of Chicago. And they reflect in the process the growth and changes that have surrounded them. Furthermore, by saving the house in place, it will be less costly and less destructive. Number two, the Board of Trustees' existing mandate should be followed. The resolution last year calling for it to be preserved in sight also supported a public process for carrying this goal out. Earlier this year, a university-funded study was completed by Vinci Hamp, one of the state's most prestigious preservation architects. Just yesterday, for the first time, I saw a copy of this report, and it was shared with other members of the advisory committee that the chancellor appointed. I've taken a quick look at the report. It is an excellent and thorough study. It not only summarizes the history and condition of the building, but also the cost to rehabilitate it, which I would emphasize are less than $1 million, despite the language in the resolution before you today that says $2 to $2.5 million. These two reports provide an excellent blueprint, I believe, on how this building could be retrofitted. Three, we recommend that the house be stabilized immediately. Anyone who has walked by this house on the South Quad knows this has not been properly cared for decades. Years of neglect, yet the building today still remains structurally sound. And according to the Vinci Hamp report prepared by the university, the cost of repairs and stabilization would be less than $70,000. This would include new steps, removal of inappropriate additions, foundation repairs, an alarm system, improved ventilation, reconnection of missing downspouts, and even a new paint job. While this would immediately transform the building from a campus eyesore, it also would, I think, better explain to people why this is a significant building. Again, for less than $70,000, not $2 to $2.5 million. In fact, if funding is not available, and I've heard the stories today, our organization would be happy to help organize a faculty and student crew to do the work as soon as possible. Finally, point four, we would urge the university to complete the public process that you wisely began a year ago. We do not need a new resolution. The current resolution does this. The steps are simple. Release this report to the general public, including faculty and staff. Review the cost estimates with preservation experts, including the existing advisory committee, solicit proposals for the uses discussed in the study, and make potential donors and alumni aware of the potential for funding this one-of-a-kind effort. In the meantime, by stabilizing the building, it will be safe and secure and at a cost much less than demolition or relocation. Thank you again for the opportunity to speak, and thanks for your service.
Thank you. Our next speaker will be Ms. Alma Zamudio.
Hello, my name is Alma Zamudio. This is my first year at UIC. I'm going to talk about, I'm going to read my essay. I am a student from a low socioeconomic family. My parents both combined make less than $20,000 a year. I am a first-year student and first-generation attending college. Like me, many other students have to deal with the harsh realities that Latino, Latina, young student must endure with limited resources. For many low-income students, education is the only option in order to better their situations. Access to a higher education through a four-year university is vital to many low-income students. UIC is in the heart of Chicago and is steps away from Pilsen and Little Village, two of the biggest Mexican and Latino communities. UIC does not exist in a bubble. It is part of these communities because of the close proximity. It has become apparent that most of these low-income urban students do not have the opportunity to be admitted to UIC, even though it is footsteps from their home. Low-income students that attend schools like Benito Juarez are not being admitted because of low ACT scores. Although they may have a good GPA, these students that could attend UIC because of its close location to home and lower tuition rates when compared to most universities in Chicago are not being admitted. LATIS and other support programs like AAAN, which stands for African American Recruitment, it stands for African American Academic Network, and LATIS, which stands for Latin American Educational and, Latin American Recruitment Educational Services. They have been active in recruiting low-income students who have been classified under Enrollment Contingency Support Program, also known as ECSP, or is sometimes referred to differently qualified students. Through these programs, LATIS has taken the time and resources to review students who have scored low on their ACT but have a good GPA, and chooses selective few to be recommended to the admissions office. They meet with the students and make it a requirement for those students to attend the Summer Bridge program. In this program, LATIS staff helps students academically prepare for the demanding academic pressures they will face in the fall. The Summer Bridge also makes the personal connection with students so that they know they have support to further excel academically. The Summer Bridge also provides these first-time college students with the vital information such as scholarship opportunities, financial aid services, and academic resources centers on campus. This information is all new to students whose parents have not even made it past third grade sometimes and cannot help their children with the university transition. Recently, LATIS has been removed from the admissions process and its budget is not sufficient for the amount of work that LATIS program and other support services like AAAN and ACE do. LATIS program does not serves the underrepresented low-income student Latino students. LATIS needs to be in the admissions process, not as a third party, but as a member of the admissions community. UIC is an urban institution that was founded on the principles of serving the surrounding communities. UIC needs to uphold its urban mission. I want to talk about my personal experience because I went through the Summer Bridge program. I was one of those students who did not score well at the ACT. I scored as, I think it was an 18. Right now, this is my first year, my GPA is 3.5. And because of the help with these support services, I was able to come into the university and succeed within an academic field. I have a 3.5 GPA and this is my first year. So this is an example that students who score 16 or 17 can, with the resources like LATIS and like AAAN, can succeed within a university. It is important to have these students be admitted to a university if we want to affect our communities and our society. Thank you.
This is a great, great program, and we have to support it. I think the whole, you know, ILIS scandal has really hurt the programs there that are involved in trying to get kids into school, but we really have to serve this population, so we have to support this program. It's very, very important.
There's some follow-up items, obviously, Carlos, so we'll get to those. Our next speaker will be Mr. Ben Rothschild.
Hi. So I'm here today specifically to talk about tuition, but first I'd like to bring up a couple of points. First, I'd like to mention that I'm here with a group called the Undergraduate Graduate Alliance, and we're a coalition of student activist groups at UIUC, and we're really upset with the way public education is going in this country. So secondly, I'd like to talk about some of these salaries, and the reason I'd like to talk about these salaries is because we have a budget crisis and everybody is taking personal sacrifices, we want everybody to be taking personal sacrifices, and that means Joseph White should not be paid $450,000 to work as faculty if he's not president any longer. I don't know why that was in his contract. That should be cut first, right? And I would really, I would like to ask Chancellor Ringeisen to put back some of his $270,000 retirement package, put some of that back into the budget, because that money could be going towards students. And I would like to ask Pamela Strobel why we were ignored last November during the public forum about the Presidential Search Committee. We specifically mentioned that we were concerned with the salary of the new president, and that was completely ignored. In fact, the new president got a $170,000 raise, and that's absolutely ridiculous. But I mean, I'm curious, like, among the people in the Board of Trustees, like, who spoke to the 70 to 80 people outside who are upset about the salaries, like campus workers who are deeply upset about these salaries. Like, this is a sign of hypocrisy when people won't make personal sacrifices, but when everyone else is experiencing layoffs, budget cuts, furloughs, tuition hikes, the list goes on and on and on. Okay, and so now I'd like to talk about tuition, and we're upset about tuition because the school is just not affordable, right? There's a bunch of reasons why the university should freeze tuition. The first of which is if they want to operate democratically, and listen to people, that's exactly what people have been saying for the past 25 years, is that tuition should stop being hiked and hiked and hiked. So the Student Senate at the University of Illinois passed a resolution calling on the university to freeze tuition, and there's copies of it on every one of your desks, and we'd really like you to read it, and we have it larger if you'd like to look at it more closely. But the point is that if you want to operate democratically, this is what students are saying, and this is what we're concerned about. And it really messes with education when students have to worry about careers, and two out of every three students are in debt in this country once they graduate from higher education, right? So middle and working class families can't afford this, and it's unacceptable, right? So this a tuition hike would not solve the budget crisis. So we really want the board to consider changing their minds about this, because students cannot afford this. So just overall, we really like the Board of Trustees to start being a leader in this, because we look at the state level and the federal level, and we spend way too much money on incarceration and police, and the federal government spends way too much money on bailing out the banks and spending money on war, and this simply isn't working. We want you to go to the state government and go to the federal government and actually do something about this, because this is not working. We are in a crisis in public education, and we are tired of this. Thank you.
I think our last public speaker is Professor Steve Tozer.
Hi, everybody. I'm Steve Tozer. I'm a professor in educational policy studies here at UIC. I'm going to stick really closely to my text here and just pretty much read, because I don't want to get into a stare down with Chairman Kennedy about my 5 minutes, so I want to try to finish.
Chairman's not very successful at that.
I was somewhat encouraged by that, actually. I want to begin by thanking you for this opportunity to share with the board my appreciation for being a part of one of the most important of all university commitments, namely to improve our public school systems that desperately need our support. It's been my unique privilege to have been a longtime faculty member and department head in the College of Ed at Urbana-Champaign for many years, and then to have come to a College of Education here at UIC that is truly unmatched in the nation in its engagements with and its impact on teaching and learning in urban environments. And I want to tell you a little about that. First, this College of Ed at UIC is committed to a wide range of collaborative partnerships with Chicago Public Schools, including initiatives for urban schools in literacy, mathematics, and teacher ed. As a result of those partnerships, UIC has placed a higher percentage of its student teaching candidates in high-poverty CPS schools than any other college or university anywhere. The College of Ed students are known for their ability to succeed in such schools, and this attracts candidates who are committed to the urban mission. 62